7 richest countries in the world. Now them have a little need, and them a plan to keep and oppress the poor. So them have a little need, but when them think them thing goes another way. Oh, when them think them thing goes another way. Oh, did you hear about these meetings? No, you won't find poor countries there. Because of capitalist greed, revolution seems to be the only place.
Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, Christian ambassador for, servant of, and to the Rastafari movement for freedom, justice, and equality, servant of, and to the kingdom of God, queendom of God that's in heaven here and now on this earth, kingdom and queendom of Islam here and now on this earth. This is for the recording date of Sunday, July the 14th, 2013. We're moving to the Quran. We are doing something that probably has not been done to this extent. Preaching from the Quran by using the Torah, African Hebrew language, and using the Injil or New Testament European Greek language, as the Quran is born out of Torah and Injil New Testament, as the Quran in the Arabic language is born out of the African Hebrew language. We are in chapter 6 of the Quran, part 7, section 9, which is titled Abraham's Argument for Divine Unity. Abraham's Argument for Divine Unity. In this day and time of death, hell, and destruction and division, Abraham, which in the African Hebrew language is defined as the father of many, or the father of a multitude, or the chief of a multitude. The number 85 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Abraham, the father of a multitude, the Most High, the Almighty Father. In Islam, is called Allah, is the father of us all, the father of the greatest multitude, the Almighty Mother Allah, which is spelled with an I, is the mother of the multitude, the queen and mother of us all. Abraham is arguing for divine unity because prophetically, Abraham can see that the system has divided us into a polytheistic state. We're not using polytheism to denote many gods. We are using polytheism to denote the human family divided and fractured so that those in power can maintain power through our division and the divine unity that Abraham is arguing for would be human monotheism, not that there is only one God. Hear me, sisters and brothers of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. There are many gods and goddesses, but we act as one monotheistic human family, following the guidance of the gods and the goddesses, acting as one under the divine rule of the Almighty Mother Allah, under the divine rule of the Almighty Father Allah. So in Islam, you don't say Allah, Elohim, gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. You just say Allah, as all is Allah. The universe is Allah. The earth, sun, moon, stars, planets, Allah. So we say Allah to denote the whole of we, but we are yet we. Watch this. In verse 76, we see that Allah is speaking through Prophet Muhammad, and it says, "And thus did we show Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he might be of those having certainty." We want to ask ourselves the question, who is the we? Not many Muslim scholars will deal adequately with this reality in the Quran. On the one hand, the Quran says Allah is one, no plurality. But then we hear and we see this phrase here and word, we show. Who is the we? The we is Allah, the Almighty Father, and Allah, the Almighty Mother, right? And the we are the angels, the spirit entities, Gabriel being one of those angels, Raphael, and all manner of angels, male and female, or masculine and feminine. These acting as one are the we and the ancestors. You see, we're teaching Islam from the African perspective, which is the original perspective of the teaching of religion. The Almighty Father, the Almighty Mother, the spirit world, angels, masculine, feminine, the ancestors who live in the spirit world, masculine and feminine, and the righteous teachers, prophets, sages, so on and so forth, male and female, prophets, prophetesses, who teach us this knowledge that we use. All of these are the we. Ultimately, Father Allah and Mother Allah, the womb through whom we receive beneficence and mercy. We have to deal with that which appears to be a contradiction, but is not really a contradiction in the scripture if we properly understand. So we have the we acting as one. We have the we that do not act in a polytheistic manner as the demons do. The demons that are referred to as jinn, help me, Islamic sisters and brothers. I am your student. So you help me, I help you. In various places, the spirit world that are denoted as jinn acting in an evil manner would equate to demonic forces. The demonic forces are they who have fractured the human family into a polytheistic reality that is destructive to the human family. That is not the we here. The we here are acting as one in a monotheistic manner, because we are one. You hear the Rastafari say I and I, because it's not you and me, it's I and I. You are an I outside of I self. The whole of we are I and I. All right. And thus did we show Abraham, the father of the multitudes. What did you show Abraham, Almighty Father Allah, and Almighty Mother Allah, and the Elohim gods and goddesses, children of the Most High, and ancestors, and righteous teachers and prophets and prophetesses? It says, we showed Abraham the kingdom. Now let me look up the word kingdom. We want to see the Arabic language as being a product of the African Hebrew language and African Aramaic language. So in the African Hebrew, kingdom is 4467 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. It is mamlaka. It's a feminine noun. So watch this. Abraham is shown the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. The word kingdom in the African Hebrew language is feminine. So Abraham, the father of the multitudes, the chief of the multitudes, is shown that feminine reality. In Africa, in Egypt, in Nubia, in Ethiopia, Kush, the Dogon, the Twa, were always in tune with the feminine reality, the feminine power, and no chief, no king could sit on the throne. No male ruler could rule unless that male ruler had the adequate understanding of the feminine reality and all that is symbolized through the feminine reality, such as Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, balance, reciprocity, order out of chaos, freedom, justice, equality. That woman represents the scales of justice, which is why the Statue of Liberty, a woman, originally a black woman, with the chains of slavery broken at her feet. When you view the Statue of Liberty, if you go to the Statue of Liberty, you can see the chains at the feet, but they changed it from black to white. Nevertheless, woman represents justice in your halls of justice and your places of jurisprudence. The judicial system, the courts have statues and depictions of women holding the scales of justice. So Abraham is shown the kingdom, shown the feminine reality. The word kingdom is defined as kingdom, dominion, reign, sovereignty, kingdom, realm, sovereignty, dominion. We're talking about the power to rule. Abraham is shown the future reality of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed being given the power to rule this universe. Psalm division 8. We see that the human family, male and female, are made a little lower than the angels and given the power to rule sun, moon, stars, and planets. In short, the creation. In the book of Hebrews, we see that Christ is the glory of God. We see that mankind, humankind, is the glory of God. We see that Christ is given the power to rule creation. We see that the human family is given the power to rule creation by the permission of the Most High. We see in Hebrews again that Christ petitioned the Most High to prepare a body for the Christ, that the Christ may come into the earth realm and relieve those who need liberation, who Christ after giving a body, given a body prepared by the Most High for Christ, would come into the earth realm and liberate the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We see that this reality is really descriptive of every human being. We have been given a body prepared by the Most High that we would come into the earth realm and liberate the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from all oppression and the oppressor. We see that the word Sabbath is tied to relief of debt slavery, or elimination of debt, debt slavery, and usury, liberation of the oppressed, and returning of the land, wealth, and resources back into the hands of the oppressed, and elimination of oppression and the power of the oppressor. All of this is what Abraham was shown. He was shown the kingdom of heavens and earth. The word heavens, let me hit that word right quick. Sometimes we'll go to the Hebrew. Sometimes we'll go to the European Greek. But in the African Hebrew, heaven is 8064 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. The word is Shemayim. Shemayim, 8064. A masculine noun. Now, in the Hebrew, the heavens are seen as masculine. That's interesting. Heavens, sky, visible heavens, the abode of the stars, the visible universe, the sky, the atmosphere, the heavens, synonymous with astrologers. So what? Watch this, sisters and brothers. We're looking at the scientific study of the heavens and the universe and the Milky Way and the sun, moon, stars, and the planets, and the principles of life and how life comes into being. The Quran is a scientific book. The Bible is a collection of scientific books. The Bhagavad Gita, the I Ching, these are books of science, sisters and brothers. The prophets were scientists who studied in a scientific manner the known universe that the prophets and the teachers and the sages, masculine and feminine, may be able to teach scientific reality to the human family, especially the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, that we might understand science and use science to defeat the oppressor and then go about constructing a society that is rooted in and based on the scientific study of the universe. Now, Shemayim, does not Shemayim sound close to the word shaman? Shaman, Shemayim. I was recently in the area of the Grand Canyon talking to some of the sisters of the Navajo Nation, and the mother of the three that my wife and I conversed with, buying some artifacts from the Navajo Nation. I began to converse with the mother, and she began to talk about how they don't study spiritualism. They live spiritualism. I agree. We live this reality. We don't study or just or only study this reality. We live this reality because we are this reality. She began to talk about how she is the wife of a medicine man. And when you study the medicine men and the medicine women of the indigenous peoples of not only North America, but the Americas, Western Hemisphere, and the equivalent in Africa and Asia, sometimes they were called shaman. These were the men and women who were the spiritual guides of the community, teaching the community about the spiritual reality of the universe, knowledge, wisdom, overstanding, in tune with the spirit world, in tune with the scientific knowledge and wisdom and understanding, overstanding of the scientific universe, shamayim, shaman. So Abraham is shown the heavens. I want to see the word heavens in the Greek language. Let me see if I can get to the word heavens in the Greek language, in the European Greek language, and see what we can see. In the New Testament, the word heaven in the European Greek language, we know that the New Testament was written in the European Greek language for the European sisters and brothers, that the European sisters and brothers may come to understand and know this scientific reality and construct societies that would be free of oppression in Europe. So the African Hebrew scholars and scientists and prophets constructed the New Testament, constructed the Old Testament into the European Greek language, and were the catalysts behind the construct of the New Testament so that the European sisters and brothers may have this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. In the Greek language, Uranos or Uranos is 3772 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. This word heaven in the European Greek language is also a masculine noun. It is defined as the vaulted expanse of the sky with all things visible in it, the universe, the world, the aerial heavens or sky, the region where the clouds and the tempests gather, and where thunder and lightning are produced, the sidereal or starry heavens, the region above the sidereal heavens, the seat of order of things eternal and consummately perfect, where God dwells and other heavenly beings. I was just looking at the Science Channel as the modern day scientists of the West, the Western Hemisphere, the United States of North America, Europe, talking about the Big Bang theory, talking about various aspects of the study of the universe and the sun, moon, stars, and planets, the study of the origins of the universe through the understanding of matter and dark matter, and trying to go after the origins of the universe as they believe the origins are wrapped in that dark matter, and that dark matter is either in another position or location in the universe, or that dark matter, the origins of the various matters of the universe, molecules and atoms, could be in another realm, R-E-A-L-M, realm of the universe, or region, you might say, at the same, existing at the same time, but beyond our visible reach, because it's another realm in the universe. The study of atoms and molecules and how they move in the universe, how they can move simultaneously, one particle moving through a particular hole, H-O-L-E, can replicate itself and move simultaneously in a second hole as particles, but also as waves. And when you look with your physical eye, you see a particle, you see particles, but then after it moves through the holes, they turn to waves. But if you close your eyes, they will go from appearing as waves to appearing as particles, as if you moved in time from the present to the origin of those particles as particles. In other words, when you shoot the particle through the holes, they begin as particles, and through the holes, they become waves. And so in real time, they began as particles, end as waves. But if you close your eyes, you open your eyes and you see them not as waves, but as particles, as if you moved back in time to see how they began as particles before they ended as waves. This is the scientific study of the universe and all in the universe, the vaulted expanse of the sky with all things visible in it. The universe, the world, the heavens, the sky, where the clouds and the tempests, storms, not just storms of thunder and lightning, but storms of gas and liquids and various matter in the universe, how stars explode, creating storms in the universe that these stars may then come together as other forms and form planets and form life. How the earth sits in a pocket in the universe that is far enough away from that original dark matter, that this earth is far enough away from the chaos that is closer to that dark matter, and not so far out that it would be in the midst of other chaotic events. So this earth is situated perfectly in the universe to conduce life in such a manner that we could come into existence. This is Yahweh Yahovah, the existing one, father and mother. Numbers chapter 11, Moses refers to Yahweh Yahovah as begetting and conceiving. The principle of begetting, the principle of conceiving. These principles in operation in the universe, producing life, making sure that we came into existence in a pocket in the universe that would be perfectly conducive to life, to ensure that we would come into existence. This is the study of life. This is the study of the universe. This is the study of Yahweh Yahovah. This is the study of Allah, the Almighty Father. This is the study of Allah, the Almighty Mother, the womb through whom we receive beneficence and mercy. Let's take our next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.